and welcome to the first episode of Strange Movies. My name is Greg and I am joined here by my little brother, my best pal, and a man I once seen laugh so hard at The Simpsons that he vomited. Kevin, how are you doing?
Good, can't complain.
Good. The episode in question of The Simpsons of Treehouse of Horror when they were like kind of taking the piss out of Harry Potter and Lisa turns her frog into a prince and Bart turns his frog into this thing going, kill me. And Kevin laughed so hard that he spewed all over the carpet.
Yeah, we were eating Chinese food at the time as well.
Yeah. thanks for that detail, Kev.
I'm sorry.
So this is basically how this is going to go. Throughout these podcasts, I will be telling you other facts about Kevin, like Kev facts. Some are downright lies, but you'll have a good
time. Most are lies.
Well, we'll see. We are here to talk about strange movies. Kev, you are the family resident film buff.
I am.
Yep. I know my fair share of movies, but you are just on another planet when it comes to the amount of knowledge you have about films, the passion you have for movies. What I really like is how you can, like, he's at the point now where he's got so many movies that his room is just full, and those like IKEA shelves, and they're just like top ceiling to floor movies. But what I like is every now and again, like, because he gets all the, like, from the old blaxploitation films all the way up, and because he's such a inverted commas here collector, it's quite easy for him to, like, ask for what's basically softcore porn, and he's like, oh, it's an exploitation movie. I'm just, it's for my research. Pete Townsend was writing a book, mate. Do you know what I mean? A bit off the quiet. You all right?
Yeah, just a bit embarrassed, but yeah, it's fine.
All right, pal, not to be embarrassed a bit.
Yeah. What's Pete Townsend going to do with anything?
That's for a completely different show. That really is. They never did finish that book, did they? But anyway, fantastic man. So I've just went off on a complete tangent there. Kev is about the family's film buff and softcore porn connoisseur.
I believe that's how it goes to you as well.
Nah, hardcore all the way for me, mate.
Yep.
Anyway, off on a complete tangent. So, the film buff of the family is Kevin, third time lucky. And we had the idea at the start of this year of doing a podcast, and then obviously 2020 happened and things all went a bit tits. So I've got here eventually, and the plan was, well, everybody can do a movie podcast, and we wanted to do something a wee bit different. So basically, most of these films, Kev, you'll have seen before, am I right? That's the majority of them.
I've been in my collection, so I probably have watched them at least once.
Yeah, and the softcore form was maybe just the first 10 minutes. But the whole point is to get me to watch one of these films and give my critique about it. And we will talk about it here. It's basically revenge for something I've done in a former life. But it should be a laugh. And yeah, it's a way for you guys to have to suffer just as much as I do. So we're going to be looking at a different movie every month, every couple of weeks, just however regular we're going to be doing this at the minute. Just try to fit it in room work commitments, and obviously not being able to see each other in person. It's quite handy to be able to do it in Zoom, but sometimes it's good just to get around the table as well. But we're making the lemonade from the lemons, I think.
Yep. Sure. Mm-hmm. We'll get there. We'll all get there in the end.
Yeah, we will, Pat, we will. So, yeah, that's basically the premise of this. We watch a film, we talk a bit about it, then we give it a rating out of 10, just to be really original. I don't know if we get to keep score, have some sort of like lead table, like with having Top Gear where the folk do the thing. Is Top Gear still a thing?
I think so. I mean, there's the one on the BBC and there's the one on Amazon. They're the same basic thing.
Did it all stop after, like, I don't know, did Jeremy Clarkson go punch a cow or something like that?
No. I don't think it was that.
Was he writing a book as well?
The cow? Yeah, I think so.
Right, okay. Right, so the first film we have chosen, well, I say we, like I had a choice in the matter, is The Bronx Warriors. Kev, do you want to tell us a bit about the movie before we go into the actual description?
It was made in 1982 and is considered a part of the Italian exploitation genre from its golden age. And is it says post-apocalyptic, but it's more dystopian than anything else, version of New York come around 1990.
Yeah, so this is the funny thing. It was set, I mean, it was made in 1982, and obviously when you talk about these Italian exploitation films, around at the same time as like the spaghetti westerns, where people would go to Italy to film because it was cheaper to film there.
Yep.
Cool. So, well, this was set in 1990. What happened in 1990? Gaza had these famous bout of tears at the World Cup. I'm pretty sure David Hasselhoff, United Germany, and I think, well, actually, I know that the first ever Aldi opened in the UK. There you go. That's happened in 1990. So that can be as apocalyptic as you want. Also, the first episode of Mr. Bean was broadcast, so kind of getting a bit close to the apocalypse there. But
I like Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean's all right. Yeah, he's all right. Mm-hmm. So the kind of dystopian 1990s, it's really weird when you go back and look at these films. Like even now, like when you go to watch Back to the Future 2. Mm-hmm. When they go into the future, it's 2015. That's like 5 years ago. That's mental.
I know.
I think the first, when was the first Blade Runner set as well?
I can't even mind. It was like something like.
Because that was in the title, wasn't it?
Yeah, like 2048.
Like 2098. So Blade Runner was set in November 2019. Huh. Which is also in the past. That's
yep.
Madness.
Still waiting on them flying cars.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's just a bit mad. But
yeah. So, probably a good thing those don't happen, because you imagine drunk drivers in flying cars.
Topical. We should actually just start the film and have like a Robert Preston style debate about the pros and cons of drunk driving and flying cars.
I think it's a horrible idea and it'll probably kill a lot of people.
What about the pedestrianisation in Norwich City Centre?
No, I don't know. Norwich is doomed.
Fair point, Kev. Fair point.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So shall we move on to actually talking about this movie then?
Yes. Cool. That's enough of this bollocks.
Yeah. So let's get down to business and talk about the movie. So it starts in 1990, derelict dystopian 1990. And basically starts with a girl who is the heir to, what is that, a weapons?
Yeah, a weapons manufacturer. That's what they said, but I wasn't really sure what it was, but I think that's what it was, but I wasn't sure.
You never really get that. I mean, it's never really clarified. So she's like running away. I don't know why she's running away. I think she run away from boarding school.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's not really clear like what she's running away from, but she's like not happy with whatever it is.
That's a,
at least.
That's a good synopsis. She is not happy. So, yeah. And she stumbles into the wrong side of town where she is accosted by like a bunch of rollerblading
weirdos.
Weirdos, yeah. And I think they're about to get nasty. It's all about to get a bit rapey in here. And then I don't even know if you can call them heroes, but the riders show up, led by
Ash.
Trash, that's right. Yeah. And they kind of put a stop to it and save the girl. And you can see right away there's just kind of a divide down the middle that some are quite unhappy about the fact they've taken this girl under the wing.
They're mostly Ice. A guy that kind of looks like John Lennon.
He does. He looks like John Lennon, but he dresses up like he's one of the Nazis in a low, low. He's pretty weird character. I mean, they're all pretty weird characters. The leader Trash, as it walks like he's got a pole up his backside, and it's kind of hard to take him seriously. But so they save the girl, and for the meantime, everything is rosy. What happens after that, Kev?
Well, the company sends in another job ex-cop called the Hammer to retrieve him.
Just to clarify, this is not early 90s rapper MC Hammer, who later became Hammer.
Mm-hmm. This is a guy called Hammer, who's played by Vic Moore.
Who is... This was his last film, if I'm right.
It was his last film, his full last film before he died in that helicopter accident on the Twilight Zone movie.
So yeah, and what a legacy he'll leave behind. But yeah, send it this Hammer dude, to find her. But it's also it kind of cause a bit of trouble between the gangs as well.
Yeah, I think his second thing was get all the gangs to turn on each other and have them wipe each other out and have the operation come in and take over the Bronx.
It sounds like America just now.
Yeah. A bit more campy.
Let's get to one of my favourite characters. Let's get to Hot Dog.
Yeah, Hot Dog.
So tell us about Hot Dog.
He's a greasy trucker with one leg longer than the other. He was helping Hammer turn the gangs against each other in order to help himself get out of the Bronx.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Pretty much. I noticed he put an awful lot of focus on the fact that one leg was longer than the other, and it actually has no relevance whatsoever in the movie.
Yeah.
This takes us to the next part of the film, which is just this is batshit crazy. So the gangs arrive at this harbour, and they find a gang member has been impaled on like a big stake. And all the while, they just stood there, just playing the drums.
Just jamming out.
I'm playing a drum kit, oblivious to the fact there's a dead body next to him. And that sets up. Sorry, Kevin, on you go.
It's quite surreal in a way, isn't it?
It's very surreal. But this sets up our meeting between the riders and Trash, and the big boss, who turns out is not called Yoga or Yoda, but is actually the Ogre. And he's got that kind of huggy bear thing going on. He's dripping in gold, dripping in women, and basically they agree
to a ceasefire.
A ceasefire, yeah, I couldn't think of the word there. And so after that, they go back to their respective areas. You notice how like they both kind of live in basically all blocks of flats, but the riders stay in like an absolute shithole. Whereas at least, you know, I mean, like the ogre's got a nice big throne and stuff.
Yeah, and a guy playing the piano.
And a guy playing the piano because that's what you... go to any empty block of flats and you'll find a guy playing the piano. But this is when it all starts to go a bit messy. So the hammer comes in and he kills one of the gang members for the riders and his... what I think is a hooker. But maybe that's just...
In Micah terms, his old lady.
His old lady, yes. And then tries to kind of leave... What is it he tries to leave? Is that a ring?
Yeah. It was a ring.
So to kind of try and frame the other gang. And then after that...
After that, he kidnaps the girl, but she escapes and is then kidnapped again by another gang called the Zombies.
Yeah, who basically are just like zombies.
No, those are the rollerblading guys again.
Oh, that's right. The ones that were dressed like zombies weren't actually called the zombies. That's right. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Because why not?
Why not? Why not? So this leads to the ogre and Trash joining forces, which really annoys Ice, who by this point has teamed up with Hot Dog and the Hammer. I can't believe I'm actually saying that he's teamed up. Ice teamed up with Hot Dog and the Hammer.
It's a bit of the old He-Man, isn't it? In terms of names.
I've got a degree in public relations, mate, and I'm talking about Hot Dog and Hammer. This leads to kind of our final battle, where basically everybody dies.
Yep.
Just everybody dies.
And the hero's left with nothing.
Left with nothing. The Anne gets killed. I was actually glad she got killed because she was the cause of all of this. And we still never found out what she was running away from.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she was in, maybe, I don't know. Everybody dies. And then...
In spectacular fashion as well.
Right, I mean, there's no, like, getting shot with a silencer. It's full on. Like, horses get killed.
Dudes are impaled on spikes, burned to death.
Yeah.
Choked with rips.
And then ends with... Oh, my God. Trash. Shooting Hammer with a grapple gun, tying it to a horse, and riding off as cops come in to nuke the place. If you've just tuned into this podcast and wondering what the fuck is going on, I swear to God, this is not about their life. This is what happened in this film. I didn't understand a lot of it. I'm not going to lie.
It was entertaining. It's an entertaining movie. I mean, it's like a mix of, you know, Mad Max, The Warriors, Escaping New York, and a bit of the old Adam West Batman.
And Lady and the Tramp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But of a lot more punching.
Yeah.
And bikers.
Yeah. I love The Warriors. I love The Warriors. It's a great film.
Yeah, one of the old time classic tough guy movies.
But a lot of people would say that hasn't aged well, but because it's the Warriors, because of the reputation that it's got, people let that go and people still enjoy it for what it is. I think with this film, it's not got the rep that the Warriors has got. It's not got that kind of acclaim that the Warriors got. And the fact that it's pretty much a carbon copy of the plot, like trying to get from one side of New York to the other. It's maybe not getting the credit it deserves because while this is never going to win Best Picture at any thing, maybe the Razzies, it's by no means a bad film. It's I've probably seen worse in the cinema.
We all have, admittedly.
Yeah, but it's not a bad movie. It just all seems a bit pointless.
I don't know if it was pointless. I mean, it didn't really have much to say, but it was very entertaining.
No, what I mean is the actual plot of the film was pointless. As in, there was nothing achieved apart from the wiping out of several guys. It's like the bad guys won, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a downbeat ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you want to talk about any trivia notes for the film? I know you've got a couple of bits and bobs.
I do, yeah. I mean, okay, the actress that played Anne, and I'm going to butcher her name, so apologies, yeah? Stefana Goldmi-Goodwin was is the daughter of the film's director Enzo G. Castellari, who had a cameo at the beginning of the film along with his brother.
His brother's name was Rob. cool. One of the things I seen was there's a part when Ice crashes the motorcycle. That wasn't meant to happen, but they kept it in. Because who can afford an editor in these troubling times?
Nah, they kept it in because they thought it looked cool.
The same way that they kept the drummer in next to a dead body. Again.
Yeah, that guy was just there. You know, when they showed up for shooting that day and they liked him so much, just put him in the film. But I'm not saying, like, I'm not saying this, like, Birdman ripped this film off with that.
I'm sure that's what they did. I'm sure that was deliberate.
Yeah, it was. Birdman ripped off the Bronx Warriors.
The Michael Keaton film?
Yes.
At what point?
But they have the drum in the background. For no reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It worked in Birdman, though. Birdman was quite an arty film. This was just a car crash.
Yeah.
A crash driven by a man who had one leg shorter than the other.
For reasons unknown.
I mean, I'm sure it's genetic. I'm not a doctor. But,
So back onto the film's stunts. The Hell's Angels worked on the film as security and a stunt team. And two of the film's stunt coordinators later worked on a film I know you're quite fond of, Greg, Working for a Dream.
Yeah, I kind of believe that. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm no longer shocked to find out, like, oh, so-and-so worked on this film, then later worked on this film. Yeah, I'm no longer shocked by that, I mean, because people work on all sorts of things, you know?
I know, but it just seems it's like one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
But that's interesting.
Yeah. You got any trivia for yourself?
I think I told him the trivia that I'd kind of got for the film, like, during it. The drummer, I keep going back to that drummer. But yeah. So, The Bronx Warriors, 1990. What would you give this 8 of 10?
I'd give it a solid 6.
6? That's not bad. I'd give this a 5. Didn't hate it. Didn't love it. Watched it when I was off work for a couple of days. I sat and watched it in the afternoon. And it's what I found mental is it was like 1 hour, 25 minutes all in. That's kind of bizarre when you think about it now. Most films are at least 2.5 hours. So it was quite refreshing, just a short, sharp, short kind of thing. It was just, yeah, I just 2.5 hours. I don't think I've made it to the end yet.
Yeah, no. Why can you do a biker movie that's 2.5 hours long?
Not a lot. Make a snack. Make another snack. Yep. Mm-hmm. Get a lot of snack. But I'll give it a 5. So, yeah. 11 out of 20 is not bad. Mm. Bad first score. It's respectable. Top that. What do you guys think about it? If you want to see this film, it's available on Amazon Prime right now.
It's available on Blu-ray from and Blue Underground in America, and on DVD from Seamless Entertainment in here in UK.
Nobody's getting by it, Kevin.
I bought it.
Well, yeah. But it's also available if you've got an Amazon Prime subscription. You can watch it for sweet FA on that.
And as well as the sequels.
Yeah, which I'm sure we'll get around to reviewing at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was our first review. Let us know what you think. If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us on the Twitter machine, and we are at @strange_movies. That's @strange_movies. Give us a follow, give us a retweet, give us a like. If you want to send nudes, I'm up for that. DMs are open, slide on in. Kevin looks horrified.
I rightfully so.
Always happy to see a picture of a big hairy Moby on Monday Night 9. And I don't know what, well, that's just Kevin's preference.
You got to pay for this.
Probably. So, let's say, if you want to get in touch with us, leave us some feedback. If you want to give us suggestions of some films to review, we're quite happy to hear from people, aren't we, Kev?
Yep. More than happy.
I'm pretty sure Kev's got a pretty decent sized list at the moment to get through. So, what's the next movie we're going to be reviewing?
Angel Town.
Angel Town. Is there angels in this film? Is it the Goo Goo Dolls going to be singing Iris? Is Melanie Griffith in it?
It has none of those things. It has Olivia Greenough kicking people in the face.
Does he kick Melanie Griffith in the face?
No, but we can only hope.
That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back in a few weeks to that. We're really kind of just working at the rhythm of how often we're going to do this at the moment. Work and stuff gets in the way, but we'll try and get another couple out before the end of the year. So we get this, what's it called? Angel Town?
Yep.
Angel Town. We get Angel Town. And then hopefully we'll try and get a festive one out before the end of the year. We may actually watch something decent for that. Maybe I'll get to pick.
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Probably won't be that.
Or it might be.
Well, yeah, let's just see what happens there. Right, that's going to do it for us just now then. Until we speak again, take care, guys. Look after each other. Kevin, have you got anything that you want to say, words of wisdom-wise?
Just take care of yourselves, and best of luck, Raven. Bye.
Catch it. Bye.